Better on Draft podcast is recorded live in Detroit Sound Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, and Matt.
And we are live with episode 58 of the Better on Draft podcast. 58 weeks and we still are here. My name is Ken, and we have definitely a plethora of beer to be trying tonight. Thank you to the curtain call out in in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
In Ann Arbor.
We appreciate their generous assistance in us getting drunk. I mean, drinking responsibly.
So they say.
Drinking responsibly.
My name is Ken, and we're going to start it off with Rob. Rob, what's going on?
Hey, like I said, just chilling out, doing my usual. Obviously coming in here with all this beer, thanks to Mark, Joe, and everybody over at the Curtain Call, who is still working on getting themselves open and ready to go. There's still a lot of work to do, a lot of things to clean. I spent like a good hour and a half just cleaning the cooler underneath the bar, and it's just kind of interesting just sitting there and just looking at these taps and just seeing all 24 of these taps and just waiting for these things to just get primed and ready to go and actually have some good beer running through them.
You know what the best part about working for Quizzo? I've never had to do anything like that.
Hey, I got paid, I got lunch, and I got all this beer.
Still didn't have to clean.
I didn't have to be there. I wanted to be there.
Oh. Matt Bush.
What's going on?
Whoa, whoa, don't die there now.
Right.
No, I just had to clear my throat. I was just doing the untapped thing. So.
God damn.
That's exactly what I thought.
A little poison there?
No, I'm just trying to
who
connect
to
the
brain. Poison? Wait a minute.
I do.
I know quite a few.
Turn his mic off.
I do Belle Biv DeVoe.
Belle Biv DeVoe.
Feels good. Okay.
And now you
That's Tony Tone. Never mind.
Yeah.
So you're doing the untapped thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to connect with our followers.
Nice.
Yeah,
appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm trying to pick up with the slack.
Sugar-free Red Bull.
Sugar-free Red Bull.
Five.
And a water. So
What's that blue can next to it, though?
That is no problems.
No problems. Is that Perrin?
That
Perrin.
Is the Perrin. Perrin. The Perrin Brewing Company.
Another beer you can add to the list, Glass House Royal Grind. What I have in the growler up
nice.
Here.
I was going to ask you what that was sitting in front
yes,
of you.
Yes, that is their
kick-ass growler,
coffee stout,
way.
According to
yes,
Montana.
It's a BB-8.
That's not one of those ridiculous with a CO2 cartridge attached.
No,
it's
no.
Growlers.
That is just a simple garbage. Vacuum
it's not,
insulated
it's not the man
growler.
Can or whatever it's called.
I was going to say, those are the growlers, though, that last a long time whenever you pour draft beer into it.
Yeah. Courtesy of Costco.
Courtesy. How much was that at Costco?
Probably, I don't remember paying more than $30 for that.
That's not a bad deal
and,
at all.
And they put it in their holiday circular this week, so
I was saying, have to give you some money to go buy me one because I don't have a Costco membership.
Okay,
and it's not alcohol, so I can't buy it.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I could do that.
Nick, what's going on?
How's it going? Happy Veterans Day.
Happy Veterans.
Can I give out a shout out to the veterans out there listening to the show?
All of them.
All of them. All
every single one of them.
Yeah.
So you're a veteran, aren't you, Nick?
Yeah, you know it. No, I'm not. No. Hats off to those guys.
What are you drinking over there?
And gal.
Surly Coffee Bender. Starting with that, at least.
Starting.
I got a couple other ones here that I'm really waiting to get my hands on.
I was going to say, I think you need to hold off on one of them until I bring I have a bottle from last year.
Which one?
That we can compare it to, the Backwoods.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got a 4-pack at home. So,
oh, okay, then you can drink it.
So we can definitely.
I'll allow it.
Yep. I was actually very, looking, because we all follow those beer groups on Facebook and everything.
Well, Dan doesn't.
Dan's not on social. Well, that's another discussion.
I haven't been all week either.
But, seeing a lot of these people getting, back their hands on Backwoods Bastard this year and just the insane amount.
Oh, people went nuts.
They are.
They went nuts for that first week, and then all of a sudden you start seeing pictures where there's just stacks.
They're still going nuts, and it's been, what, you said like a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
They're still seeing pictures of people just buying whole cases.
I mean, yeah, it's good.
Come on.
But, I mean, it's not that good. What are you
going nuts? I don't recall the last beer I bought at a store. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Has anyone really gone that crazy, at least at this table, buying a case of that much beer or multiple cases of that beer?
Or
just in general?
Yeah, actually, I can say when I was in college, I did a lot of Dirty 30s.
Yeah, okay,
I walked home
for all right.
I bought my fair share of those.
I knew it was going to get wild, so I was pretty excited myself.
Got my Keystone Light 30-pack going on.
Get the filthy 50 over
the filthy, we still haven't had the filthy. Maybe Rob needs to go get a filthy 50, too.
I'm not even thinking about that right now.
I don't want to do it.
Dan, what's going on?
Why'd you skip me earlier?
I didn't skip you.
Yeah, you did.
There's four people.
You just kind of ran
going front.
Out. But it's a pretty glorious back. Week. We'll just
glorious. Go. You know what's funny is that you should walk over here because that's the first song lined up for our break.
As it should be after this week. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Good times.
What are you drinking?
PBR.
PBR.
It was what was in the fridge. So I grabbed like, hey, PBR. I'm going to drink one of those.
And I tried to get.
What's funny is that you said that's what's in the fridge, and there was El Rojo in the fridge.
I didn't
for
see
you
it
too.
No, I was kind of moving quick.
You didn't want anything in the keg?
I tried. I killed it. Whatever was left. I didn't have time to change it because it looked like there was something good in there to.
We might have to. Ooh, is it really?
I don't know.
Oh,
it was some type of stout. So I was like, we should probably change that over.
I just came right in here. I didn't even bother going to the fridge.
Yeah, I haven't. After it was like 45 straight weeks of Ninja Chicken or the wheat.
Oh, yeah, that's
it.
Yeah, the wheat. Yeah, that's
I was just like, I don't know what's in there and how long that's been in there.
So what are you sipping on, Ken?
I got some Bel Air Brown from Shorts.
Nice.
Definitely one of my favorites. My my punch you in the face beer, if you guys remember.
Yeah, that's right.
The Nick the Brewer question. This
yes.
is my,
yes.
If
yes,
you
yes,
drank yes. all of my... I think Dan even mentioned it earlier that I was going to punch him in the face because he was going to drink all my Bel Air Brown.
Oh, yeah, because the autocorrect on Rob's message, I was like, well, Ken's going to be mad at me later.
Right. I thought it was Alt 22 was your punch in the face beer.
No. Bel Air Brown, definitely. Alt 22 is making a comeback, so I'm very excited. I'm, like, giddy like a schoolgirl. So I'll find out when that comes back. But when it does, definitely going to be hoarding a lot of it. But there is... Kaylin from Ellison went somewhere and it had Alt 22 on draft, but it was like an hour and a half away. And my contemplation of like, do I drive an hour and a half for this beer?
You just call them and say, hey, can you shake your keg of Alt 22? And then what would you want for me to just buy the rest of that keg from you and drop the barrel off when I'm done? Would that be the strategy?
That might be, but I don't have any draft system at home.
Or you just need a tap handle and just
that's true.
Keep it cold.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Like, can I pay you through PayPal?
Have you not heard of ice?
I mean, I've heard of ice and ice,
but
baby.
I was gonna walk around that one, but you just kind of
run right to it. We do have a guest all the way from Cancun, Mexico.
Mexico.
Actually from Cancun, Mexico. We're saying this as if he's not like a local boy that I went to high school and graduated with. Brandon, what's going on?
What's going on, guys?
Welcome to the show. It's a little cold for you up here, isn't it?
It's definitely a lot colder than back home.
How warm is it back home right now?
Probably like 86.
Oh, geez.
86. So we appreciate you coming on. What are you drinking?
Right now I got a Anderson Valley Blood Orange Goes.
How is it? I heard it was pretty good.
It is very good.
It is very good. Hey, Rob, haven't you had that?
I hadn't.
Sorry, Rob. You should have told me before.
Oh, hey, no worries. If I need to, I could probably go right on back to Curtain Call because it was, I'd say there was probably a good 7-8 cans that were down there, but I only took the one because I didn't know about it and I didn't want to take all of it. And if I didn't like it, then it would have just been a waste.
No, it wouldn't have. We would have drank it.
There's
five of it here. You weren't thinking with your head. You were thinking for yourself.
You were selfish
by not bringing us all the cans.
I've never seen you guys drink Gozas.
We had a Goza on with What's Their Nuts.
What's Their Nuts?
What? Wow. I remember that
What's
show.
What's Their Nuts?
Was experimentation
that's a good show.
That brought a Goza?
Experimentation brought the pink
tickler,
Goza. The pink
Goza?
Tickler, I think, was a Goza. The hibiscus Goza or
there
something like that.
Yeah, we had a Goza on the show.
I can't think of another one, though.
No, I can't.
Outside of that.
Do you know any
and
other
if you wouldn't remember that, I wouldn't even thought of that either.
Well, thanks. That actually kind of helps my case.
Kaboom.
So it's episodes of Ow My Balls.
reference to Idiocracy already. So what do you do over at Cerveza Cancun?
Well, we actually put the company together about 2 years ago. It took about a year to get the project up and running. And as of right now, basically I'm the head brewer and I run our production facility down there.
So production facility, are you guys bottling, canning?
Right now we're just canning. We're kind of playing with the possibility of doing bottles as well, but for now I'm just cans and kegs.
So what's your reach though? Are you strictly Cancun? Because obviously there's so much to distribute down there, or do you reach any other parts of Mexico or even the United States?
Right now all of our distribution is pretty much in the Cancun or Riviera Maya area, so basically that East Coast. We're pushing a little bit here to go over to central Mexico, like Mexico City, and eventually the rest of the company, and probably in the hopefully near future, probably start exporting as well.
So obviously Cerveza Cancun isn't where you got your start. You worked up here. Where were the places that you were working up here?
Well, basically through and through, I started at Kunin Brewing Company, and that was about eight years ago.
Shout out to John Pippenbrock.
Okay.
Yeah. Good old Johnny.
And that's it. It was just Kunin.
Yeah, just Kunin. I started there. I mean, I didn't have any prior experience. I asked for a bartending job, started washing kegs, and then basically moved my way up to brewing. And then beyond that, did that for a couple of years. And then actually turned down stupidly a job offer at Founders, which was only a packaging position, which I was not really ready to step down from the hot and cold side. But went down to Mexico, met the right people at the right time, started the project, and here we are. So,
So did you do any home brewing at all? Or
actually, I was not a home brewer before Kunin, but I turned into one after. I kind of went the opposite way on that one.
And have you had any of your beers, like, did you make any beers that were your recipes at Kunin, or were you just kind of... Like, I don't know, where were you on the brewery level over at Kunin?
Well, you know, I mean, Kunin, they've got so many awesome choices of beers and styles that, you know, just kind of getting that experience, learning all of those different aspects through doing brewing with them. I wasn't able to implement any of my own, but thankfully through the experience I gained through them and some of the home brews I've done myself, I was able to carry some of those over down to where we're at now.
So what are your main beers down there? Like, what do you... obviously, you probably have a lager down there.
Yeah, right now we do a Pilsner lager. We've also got a Hefeweizen, which we've now turned into a Kristallweizen.
What's a Kristallweizen?
Basically a filtered Hefe.
Okay.
If you want to just make it simple. And then we've also got pale ale and a golden ale. And we do a variation of that one with passion fruit.
How many barrel-aged stouts do you guys do? No.
Is 84-degree weather good for
barrel-aged
stouts?
I mean,
is
there even a call for barrel-aged stouts out there?
I would drink that while cutting the grass.
Well, just to give you an idea, the majority of the market down there has two types of beer, obscura and clara. And that's just light and dark, and that's the only kind of style of beer that they know. So it's been a huge challenge trying to kind of educate the bars, the restaurants, the staff, and even then beyond that, extending it to the potential customers.
Is there a large population in Cancun, or is it mostly just tourists?
You know, I would say Cancun's, don't quote me on this, but I want to say maybe like 2 million. And then we've got some smaller cities down to the south. And, I mean, as far as tourists goes, it's who knows how many, a ton.
A ton. Give or take a few.
Yeah, give or take a few.
So what is the, I guess you could say the competition down there. Do you have other brewers in Cancun, or are you fighting against like Grupo Modelo and the
big
dogs?
Well, you know, in terms of craft or in Mexico, artisanal breweries, as they call them, we're only about 11 strong in our whole state right now. And that's just really only come about in the last maybe 2 or 3 years. So It's definitely been a bit of a challenge, and amongst ourselves, I wouldn't say we're, I mean, obviously we're competitors to an extent, but definitely more than anything, our biggest challenge so far has been dealing with Grupo Modelo and the big guys, because everything that we've been fighting against here in the States 10, 15 years ago was pretty much full force on their end down there.
They right have a now. Lot of control down there, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, almost probably over 60% of the bars have their liquor licenses through Grupo Modelo. So they're under exclusivity contracts, or the majority of the events that they sponsor, you know, they'll force any other guy to go at a higher price point, and just a number of challenges. I mean, they could come into a bar that we're already – well, just as an example of what we've dealt with. We've been in a few locations, and you know, they'll come in, they'll see that we've got our product there, and they say, you know, we're going to drop this price down on what we're offering you to, say, 50 cents a bottle, and you have to stop everything else that you sell, or we'll charge you $3 a bottle.
Holy crap.
Sounds like Mexico. Sounds like what would go on compared to here.
I've never been.
Just going in general.
It just sounds like go ahead, Dan.
No, that's typical corruption type of crap. You would never see that here.
Well,
there'd be a lot of issues.
Yeah, no, there is. I mean, you know, it's kind of a, I wouldn't say it's a good thing, but it's a good and a bad thing right now, because since they're fairly uneducated on how to deal with a type of industry like this, it's new down there, and obviously as someone who's not a commercial brewery, we don't have kind of the volume that any of the big guys would have. So
how many barrels are you pushing?
Right now I'm probably at around maybe 800 to 1,000 a year.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's on the lower end. We want to expand as soon as possible. But,
of course.
You know, like I said, with the challenges that we're working with now, and even just kind of educating the market a little bit more, it's a slow growth process.
So in Mexico, Grupo Modelo is owned by Anheuser-Busch, correct?
You know, I actually am not aware of that or not, but I know that there's the Montezuma Group and then Modelo, Grupo Modelo.
What's the first one?
Would
we know any of the brands out there, or is it pretty much Mexico only?
Well, obviously, at Grupo Modelo, you've got your Corona, Indio, maybe a couple other.
Tecate,
yeah. And then for the other side, Sol is, I believe, Montezuma. So that would be your other big.
Dos Equis? No, that's Heineken's.
Yep, Dos Equis is Heineken.
Well, let's...
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah. There you go.
A lot of buyouts
the more
in the
you
last
know.
Few years.
Grupo Modelo is owned by ABI in Mexico.
So, yeah, because in the United States, Corona is its own entity. It's not owned by ABI.
It's owned by Constellation.
Constellation, correct.
Also has the rights to the Modelos and the Pacificos and so on and so forth.
And Ballast Point.
Yeah.
Grupo Modelo also has 63% of the Mexican beer market today.
That sound about right?
Well, I know craft beer down there has about 0.5% of the market. So,
is there a culture in Mexico where they will come to the local, tap room brewery? Like here, you set up a brewery or a local craft place, and anybody in the community will go just because it's close, it's craft beer, and that's what it is. Is it hard to get people in your doors in Mexico because of the education problem that you were talking about? Or do you see people trickling in and liking and buying?
It's definitely a fast-growing group in terms of people that are actually seeking out more of the craft products. For us right now, we actually don't have a tap room. It's in process. We'll probably be looking at completing that project in probably around a year or so. That will be in Cancun. Our production facility is actually about a half hour south of the city right now. So,
how accessible is that to the what people commercially know up here as Cancun? So all the resorts and all the all-inclusives are going to be about 30 minutes away from where you guys are? So
it's pretty much the whole coast up and down for about a three-hour drive worth.
Oh, okay. So is it going to be walkable from these places that are saying all-inclusive, come down here for spring break? Is that going to be kind of where you're located?
It would be really difficult because the rent in that area is ungodly.
Right.
But, I mean, right now we actually have a few contracts with a couple different resorts. So, you know, we're trying to push that, whether they're on European plan or all-inclusive. I mean, that's another issue that we have to take into consideration as far as charging the proper amount and then still being able to make money as well. So,
wait, you're in the business to make money? I didn't know that. I didn't know people open up breweries
to
make money.
I don't do the administrations.
Now, what do you think is the biggest difference between brewing here in America versus in Mexico?
Not having what you need when you need it.
How so?
We have two major suppliers. They're both very green, I guess you could say, in terms of their experience. So, you know, I might end up with one type of grain this month and another type of grain next month, and then they might try to push me some expired products the month after that.
Does it get delivered by mule-drawn carriages?
Juan Valdez is bringing his burrow oil.
That's what I'm picturing right now. Here comes the expired crap mule-drawn carriage coming down the two-track road.
I suppose you guys would make a really good coffee stout, though.
Actually, stouts are becoming one of the more popular styles down there right now amongst people who do drink the craft products. It's the coffee. I mean, a lot of the things that we have available there as far as natural resources to brew with or any kind of ingredients, it's great. I mean, unfortunately, just for the yeasts and malt and hops, there's really no local producers, so it's been fairly difficult to get that without importing it either directly or getting it through our supplier way.
Juan Valdez is Colombian. That's a long track.
That's what I was saying, is that you're not even in the same country anymore now.
But he's
in the same continent at that point.
If he can deliver a coffee to America, why can't he just make a stop in Cancun?
That's true.
Actually, it's even more difficult for us because we're really way off the beaten path.
It's Juan Valdez. He'll make it up that mountain.
Right,
it's El Chapo country where they're at.
But I'm saying it's like if you live in Michigan and you consider that the majority of the United States and then somebody's over in Maine, it's a little bit out of the way. And that's pretty much Cancun to mainland Mexico.
Right on. Well, okay, fine.
just giving you a little geographical lesson.
I give the geography questions.
I know.
I was
going
to say, that's good.
Yeah. We haven't gotten to that part of the show yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, I'm looking at the – because I actually had no idea where Cancun, Mexico was. I just assumed.
I know where Juarez is. Is that
– Well, Cancun is basically like Mexico is kind of like a fish hook.
Yes.
And it's at the tip of the fish hook.
Donald, it's Yucatan Peninsula, right, in the bottom?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's in the Yucatan. Yeah,
California.
I guess the South tried to annex that at one point.
Sure, why wouldn't they?
No, they tried to make it a state, actually, of the Confederacy. That was the plan.
Cancun State?
The
state
of Cancun? The Yucatan.
Oh, the Yucatan. Yeah.
Baja California.
Yeah. No, that's the other side. That's California.
Yucatan's under California, though, isn't it?
No, Yucatan's much under Tallahassee.
Oh, okay. I was in the wrong side of the world.
Yes.
Maybe that's why I got Juan Valdez.
Like,
mixed
it's
up.
Pretty much directly south of Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, so what's that little penis thing hanging off the back by California?
Baja.
That's
called
Baja. That's
Baja. The Baja Peninsula.
Wow.
Okay, got it.
Well, then what's that penis thing?
What the?
Wing Starlight. The more you know.
That is Matt Bush geography. Question number one. Segment three. What is that penis thing? We'll get that like 10 weeks from now. Remember when Brandon from Cancun was in? What is that?
He told us about a penis thing?
Yeah. What was it?
Oh, gosh.
It's not the question. I just want to remember it.
So, now, you talked about getting different grains. Do you have the same problem with hops, or do you even really brew with a lot of hops, seeing as you're more of the lighter beers?
You know, we've kind of dumbed down some of the recipes because it's real difficult for them to deal with the bitterness down there. I mean, when you consider what they've been drinking for the last 30 years or longer, I mean, they really just haven't had access to any of the stuff that we've been drinking here for over a decade now.
So have there been happy accidents, as we might call them, where you get a batch of grain that you didn't want and then you've made something that turned out to be better than you thought it was going to be? Or vice versa, you got excited about a product and you're like, oh, this is actually kind of shitty.
You know, we've done pretty well. We haven't had anything that we've been disappointed in so far, which being a younger company is phenomenal at this point. So, you know, I mean, being in the first year of production, that's really all that we can hope for. But, you know, I mean, once we start expanding our styles and what we're going to offer, and as well as kind of just getting some more locations locked down in terms of clients, then we'll be able to do a lot more with what we're working with.
So how different are your styles? I mean, I know you talked about your half. Does it all kind of stay in the same ballpark? Since, like you said, you know, all of the people in Mexico, not to sound stereotypical, have been drinking these.
I already got there.
What do you mean, you people?
Clear bottled yellow beers.
I'm picturing a bunch of guys in Impalas on hydraulics with the bandanas on their head.
No, those are
walking around drinking beer.
What do you mean, you people?
Am I off on this?
So picture is.
It's Cancun. It's not like in the middle of the desert somewhere. I'm like, Jesus, man.
But are they driving Impalas on hydraulics?
That's South Central California.
Yeah, you're that mixing that up with LA, I think.
Oh, not the real Mexicans, Mexican Americans.
So are you guys kind of working in that wheelhouse, though, of how do we take that yellow beer that everyone's been used to drinking and slightly change it and then try to get different people to like it and then, you know, kind of – because, I mean, craft beer isn't all about just making the yellow beer in the clear bottle that you said has been around for 30 or 40 years. So.
Well, you know, that's probably the biggest part of the challenge. I mean, obviously, us running our Pilsen, we've got that, and that's probably coincides the most with what the market is already used to drinking. But, you know, I mean, being a craft brewery, the last thing I want to do is put out Bud and Bud Light, you know. So, I mean, I'm not trying to really recreate what they're already drinking.
But it's made the hard way.
Well,
what's the hard way?
I don't know. I don't know what that means. Brewing is always the hard way.
It's brewed the hard way with beechwood.
Right. Oh, beechwood aged.
Yeah.
All right,
beechwood.
Okay. Yeah.
No, do you guys use beechwood at all?
We do not. We might use driftwood, but not beechwood.
Driftwood.
So let's kind of get back and learn a little bit more about you. So, what are the kind of beers that you are more drawn to?
Well, me personally, I've always been kind of a hophead to an extent, so more or less pale ales and IPAs. Lately, just because of what I've been used to, I'm kind of kicking it from the IPAs down to the pales, but there's not a lot in the market down there right now to choose from, and if there is, some of the quality is not quite up to our standards from what we've been drinking.
Do you see a lot of American beers down there at all, or no?
Actually... they brought in quite a few. I mean, Goose Island is a pretty big seller down there right now. Granted, that's been kind of bastardized since the beginning, but...
well, that's what happens when you have Anheuser-Busch, too.
Right, exactly. But, no, you see a lot of the commercial brands, but in terms of actual craft beers, like on more of a small scale level, there's really not a lot of options in terms of what you can get your hands on.
Can hops grow well down there in Mexico, or no? I wouldn't think that's a plant that would survive in that kind
of
weather.
I mean, regionally speaking, I'm sure it's feasible, but there's just not a lot of people that know how to do it or have access to getting into that kind of industry right now.
Have you guys ever thought of procuring your own hops and growing your own hops or no?
Well, as of right now, in this point in the company, I think we need to just focus more so on beer than reaching out into those other aspects. But, you know, I think once we...
Well, those take 3 years to
exactly.
To get. So it's one of those things where I was curious, since obviously that'll be, you know, 2 years into this experiment, or not experiment, but into this company, 5 years is when you'll be able to get your first yield of hops.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, down there, especially in our particular region, the weather is pretty difficult to grow a lot of things. I mean, I'm not a hop farmer, so I couldn't really tell you too much about what exactly they need in terms of the weather that we deal with, but I mean, we're in the middle of the jungle, man, so
everything grows in the jungle.
It's tough out there.
Welcome to the jungle.
I mean, the average temperature in January in Cancun is 79 degrees.
Thanks, Luderman.
Yeah, I know. You're welcome. Jerk.
That's funny. I was actually doing some research to see how long it would take to get to Cancun. And just a 53-hour drive.
I did it, so I know.
Have you really?
Yeah, that's
right. Wait, you actually drove?
Yeah, from here.
Holy shit.
How many days did that take?
I was going to say, how many days?
About 6.5.
Okay, that's about
9 hours a day in the car? Eight and a half to 9 hours a day in the car?
Well, I drove with a 25-foot trailer on the back, so it's
Ooh.
That's always rough. I've driven with a trailer just like 20 miles, and that's enough for me. Like I've done a U-Haul for 20 miles, and I'm like, nope, we're done. Thank you.
Did a U-Haul to Phoenix. That's probably the most I will ever do for the rest of my life.
That's a long trip.
I was going to say, that's
a long trip. That's a very long trip.
About the way to Cancun.
I'm like halfway.
Fajones.
So how did you get involved with the Cancun, Cerveza Cancun? Is it Yeah, tell us about that story.
Well,
what you can, anyways.
No, I can. I remember that one. I was hanging out with some people I met when I first moved down there. One of them, it was a buddy of mine's birthday party. We were just talking about how I'd like to get started into craft beer down there. I mean, that's what I was doing here back in the States, and you know, never thought anything of it after that conversation. And about 4 months later, the current owner of our company right now gave me a call. Said, hey, heard you're in the industry. We're looking to start a project. We'd like to meet you. Come on board. And here we are. So
it has to be a really good conversation to up and end, like move from Michigan to Cancun.
It was slightly unplanned. I mean, me and my family have been visiting there for almost a decade now, and my parents, they're the snowbirds, so one of them decided to stay full time and wanted to help her out, so ended up going down there, and things just kind of fell into place.
I was gonna say, it makes a lot more sense now that, you know, the way you explain it, because without that type of, like, preface, you're just like, you know, coming from Michigan to there to start a brand new artisanal brewery, as you guys put it down there. It's not something that you normally think, like, you know, how the hell did you get there? That's the
Was the thing. I mean, I bit off way more than I can chew, and I think I'm still trying to swallow it now, but I mean, it's been working out, so I can't.
It's been getting better.
Yeah, it's been getting better, definitely.
So one of the things we ask, and obviously with such a huge resort town like Cancun, how is the city with you guys in regards to being a brewer, being, you know, laws, and as well as how mean was Grupo de Bo? Like, did they try to stop you from opening the brewery, or were they just like, good luck? Yeah, intimidation.
You know, I would say that at this point, with the craft brewing industry as small as it is in Mexico in general, it's really not a huge threat to them to where we have any kind of intimidating issues right now. But, you know, I think we were talking a little bit about it before the show. You know, we have a lot of issues with the exclusivity and then also price points, so on and so forth. And, you know, it just makes it more difficult because there's really not a reason for us to need to be dealing with any of that. But, you know, a lot of it is not so much them, but it's a combination of the market, the suppliers, the competition, everything.
Well, you see the exclusivity, excuse me, here in the United States. Like, you got what we always bring up, the Washington Nationals Park.
Yeah.
Where it's all Budweiser and only Budweiser. And something you would more expect from St. Louis, but not from the Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we see it too, but I think there's a lot more legal loopholes you have to jump through, whereas, you know, from what you're saying, they pretty much can be like, they can control it, the entire market themselves.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're a bar owner and you've been used to doing your way of business for the last 20 years, and then the guy that gave you your liquor license says, hey, I'm gonna snag your liquor license if you start selling this other stuff, there's, you know, it is what it is.
Wait, is that in Mexico where they do that? Because I couldn't see that in Michigan. If you start selling something else, we're going to take your license?
Well, he was mentioning that in Mexico that Grupo Modelo actually handles licensing too.
That's bars. Right. You did mention that at the start. That's weird. Yeah, that's kind of a weird kind of way to control.
There's no checks and balances there. You're basically you can strong arm them at that point.
You know, they've been doing it, and there really hasn't been this market there for so long that that's just how they do it. So, I mean, every time a bar opens up or a restaurant, so on and so forth, they'll usually be getting product from these bigger companies, and they're always used to getting either a license, kind of a cash option, or at least some sort of equipment for the business, and that kind of builds their relationship to keep a steady flow of buying.
We need to move into another country and do this kind of thing. Get rid of regulation.
Like, turn into a beer mafia?
Move to another country and run everything. And it's like, well, all right, we'll just pull your license. Now you can't sell it.
Let's go to one of those great North Atlantic islands, like Greenland or Iceland.
There's no one there. There's a lot of drunks there.
There we go.
What I understand, that's all they do. But
what else would you do?
Well, yeah, they're like the sixth largest consumer in the world.
Let's do it.
It's not a bad idea. But the government probably has a monopoly there.
Better on Draft coming live from Greenland next week.
It's tough to get there. You can't get there from the U.S. There's like no flights.
That means,
so you
that
have to
means
fly
our,
overseas and fly
all right,
back.
Kickstarter. We need a boat. We need a boat. Everybody donate $100,000 so we can build a boat.
Oh, my goodness.
I think you can fly out of range.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
It's the only way to get there.
Maybe we can get one
so
of like.
You have to fly. Nick's looking at the map. Yeah, you have to fly from there over to.
They're
going to
Reykjavik and over to Reykjavik. Yeah, and then over to Greenland.
Yeah.
Geography with Matt Bush, segment 3.
I can say Reykjavik.
Reykjavik. Reykjavik.
Yeah,
sounds like Machiavelli.
I've never been able to say that city.
Think of the J's like Y's and you'll be fine.
Yeah, or just think of like the Scorpion song. I'm going to Reykjavik you like a hurricane.
Oh, gosh.
Oh my gosh.
That is time out from Matt Bush.
Turn his mic off.
Goodness.
He did turn your mic off.
I did turn his mic off. I said he got a time out.
Everyone mark your cards. Matt Bush mentioned Iceland, though.
That is
so
an around the,
mark here.
That is around. No,
is that a bingo?
I gotta say, no remorse from that guy over there.
What?
I don't feel bad.
So what is your goals coming up for Cerveza Cancun? Say, like, you know, for 2017. Obviously, you want to open up your own brew pub. Is your goal to expand even further? Like, where do you plan in expanding? At least reference it how we would in Michigan or at least the United States, so we understand.
Well, I'm not sure I understand now, but you know, I think at this point, first and foremost, we'd really just like to expand on the production facility that we've got right now, just so that we can kind of increase our volume. I mean, as you know, without a tap room, it's a lot harder to grow when you're just distributing and you don't really have that good cash flow right out of your front door. So, you know, that's probably first and foremost. Once we got the tap room up and running, then we'll kind of get a lot better idea or more in-depth idea of, you know, where we're at between locals and tourists and consumption and what everybody's actually looking for. I mean, right now, you know, it's we're getting more feedback from managers and bar staff than we are from actual clients. And, you know, that's really the only basis we can go off of. But beyond that, you know, everybody down there loves beer. It's just a matter of finding what they're looking for and what's going to work best for them. But, you know, we've been seeing a lot of people asking for higher alcohol content, a lot of people asking for different styles. And typically for them, that's not the normal case, so they get really excited when people are pushing out products like that.
I was going to say, yeah, that sounds extremely dangerous in the style of city and area that you're in.
What, you don't want 10% beer in hot temperatures?
Hot temperatures.
I'll do that every day. Who cares?
Americans who don't know how to drink.
Yeah, with Americans, yeah, with 21-year-olds and 21-year-olds.
I was going to say 18-year-olds. Yeah. What is the legal drinking age in Mexico?
18.
Is it 18?
Yeah, like the rest of the world. For the most part.
Well, Canada's 19, so that's
it's by province. Some of them are 18.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. Well, like Detroit's 19.
Well, yeah, I had to think about that for a second. Yeah, you're right, because I remember crossing over from day one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely the thing that a lot of people like don't understand, the entire like Metro Detroit concept, that like the legal drinking age of Detroit is typically 19, because especially even before, like, you just crossed the board. Did you ever go to Windsor? Like, I used to I used to hang out, like, Charlie and I, one of our mutual friends, and I used to go all the time.
Oh, you guys know Charlie.
Oh, he knows Charlie.
Oh,
yeah.
Charlie.
We went to the same high school.
Charlie. Nice. Yeah.
Charlie Bitman.
Yeah, he knows pretty much all the high school people that you've
Charlie
met
and the Rumplements.
Some of your favorite places in Windsor? Do you remember?
Come on, who doesn't like peppers?
Man. I remember Olette Street. Cool. I think that's how you say
that's
it.
Olette,
but
Olette.
Olette.
Whatever
but,
it was.
Rush.
Windsor
Good
Music
God,
Cafe.
Man. You're talking 11 years ago.
I know.
That's
Windsor
the last
Music
time
Cafe.
I was
Windsor,
there.
Windsor Music Cafe and Howl at the Moon.
The Honest Lawyer.
Those were
the Honest Lawyer. I forgot about
honest
that
lawyer
one.
Honest Lawyer
yeah.
is probably my
Reactor.
Reactor. Oh, God.
El Diablo's.
You want a headache. You go to Reactor.
I know. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Bentley's. Wasn't that another one?
Yep.
Yeah. Bentley's and El Diablo's. I remember those two, but other than that, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, Peppers. Peppers is always like with Charlie. Charlie. We would go to Peppers, and there would be literally 16 shots of Jaeger then a pitcher of beer for me, because I was the designated driver, so that was their payment, was the first pitcher of beer to me, and then they all got hammered. And I'm like, by the time I finished my pitcher of beer, they're, you know, 10, 12 shots in, and I'm like, well, it looks like I ain't drinking
anymore
tonight.
You know, that Canadian beer is like ice up there.
Oh, but it's so much better than U.S. beer, you know.
Well, what was funny was Peppers used to brew their own beer, too. They used to have their own.
Did they for real?
Oh, yeah. They used to have their own house brew.
They made their own light lager.
It was not a light lager. It was like an amber or something like that. I would destroy it every single time I got up there.
I didn't know that.
Oh, man. Well, I don't
You're
think
probably
Peppers...
too drunk, usually.
Yeah.
We all were too drunk, usually.
And then driving, but they just wave you back through. Like, come on.
I was going to say, yeah.
Come
back
on back.
We got cops waiting
Keep
for
coming.
You. We got cops.
Yeah.
No, they didn't care. Like, pre-2001, they would just... Wave
even,
everyone through, like, come
even,
on, come
yeah,
on.
Even yes. after
pre-passport, they were like that, too.
Pre-required passport.
They're just like, come on, guys, come on, come through.
We know you got shit canned.
Citizenship, United States, all right, goodbye.
Now they stand there with AR-15s and, like, look at you.
They look at you. They look at your ID.
Dan, you look not white. Time to pull you over.
Like, I got grilled over coming back because I went to gamble at the casino for a few hours. And wait, this guy in a
dude, I'm driving you tomorrow to fucking casino.
But this guy's wearing, it's like cold as hell. He's like, why would you just drive to Windsor to gamble? There's casinos here. It's like, because
it's smoke free, first of all.
Yeah, he didn't like that answer.
Because I win more in Canada than I do in
Give fucking Russia. America is a hard time coming back to America. It's their favorite thing to do.
I wanted to
You're
go
not
to the
contributing
sports
to your economy.
That too. But we'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. And we are back, Better on Draft podcast, episode 58. My name is Ken. The studio got even more fuller as we have another guest here. You know, we have Cancun, Mexico, and San Antonio, Texas.
What?
Everybody's coming in from far away. We got Brian over here. What's going on, Brian?
How's it going, guys?
And you have absolutely no affiliation with any brewer. You're just a
You're
fan
not
of beer.
Broken Skull IPA? No.
I was going to say, man. No, a Double Cross Ranch IPA.
So, what are you drinking over there?
Well,
you got multiple open beers. You're like me. Look, I do this. And,
funny you should ask. In my left hand, I am drinking
The answer is yes. What are you drinking? The answer is yes.
Yes. I'm like, I've got one in each hand. Just let me know which one you want to read.
Let's do the left one to read.
In my left hand, I am drinking Griffin Claw.
El Rojo?
El Rojo.
What do you think of it? Have you
I
had
live
it before?
Close enough to Mexico to tell you that that means red.
I say, do you know much Spanish?
Let's ask
now?
The one person who lives in Mexico.
Exactamente.
Would it be the red?
It would.
It would.
Wow.
And actually, it says Raimundo El Rojo, meaning Raymond the Red.
Raymond?
Is that Raymond? Does that really say that? It's probably Raymond.
As everyone looks at the cams.
It's Ray Ray.
I never noticed
Ray Ray.
I've never noticed the Raimundo on there before.
We got Ray here on the can.
I pay attention to detail, sir. And since I know you were going to ask, in my right hand, I am drinking.
Nobody cares. Go on.
Does this even say anything on
it? Yeah, it's on the other side.
Are there words? Is that English?
There it is. Norm's Gateway. Is that like Norm from Cheers? Or what are we doing? It also is Griffin Claw. So Griffin Claw. Some double fist in the Griffin Claw.
Double fist in the Birmingham.
Birmingham.
Michigan. Isn't Birmingham in Troy?
No, sorry, Birmingham.
That's an old Detroit reference.
I don't understand, and I live in the city.
You guys are way too young, or I'm way too old.
I was going to say, is that something from like the 60s?
Mm. Oh, boy.
Wow.
Oh, what?
He's gone.
Brian just like
normally I'm
like,
the butt of those jokes, so I'm glad you're sitting.
Oh,
here
I already called Rob 50.
Yeah, no.
Aren't you 50 though?
No.
No.
Man,
you're not the oldest guy in the room anymore.
Let's just say I'm repping the 40 in more than one way.
I just turned 40. Damn.
So,
amen,
Rob,
brother. Amen.
Rob, what's going on in the news?
Oh. Stuff and things. Things and stuff.
Things.
Thanks.
Is this going to be a political thing?
Hopefully not.
There's nothing going on in politics right now.
No. Not
all quiet, nothing. There's no news.
But politics. To bring up politics, there was an initiative, although it was not done here in the state of Michigan. It was in Oklahoma. Oklahoma has some interesting stuff going on with a term I had not heard before. I had to look it up and just pay attention to the article about 3.2 beer, which essentially is just beer that is 3.2% or lower.
Yep. Water.
What?
Water. Yeah. And pretty much Oklahoma had a law where any beer that was in grocery stores and convenience stores could not be anything higher than 3.2%.
Yeah. Many states are like that. Many states are like that.
Yes. And pretty much they had their state-run stores that had anything that was higher than that. Well, they had a state initiative this election cycle where basically was getting rid of that mandate and allowing the grocery stores and convenience stores to sell stuff that is higher than that. That has pretty much passed at about 65.61%.
Killed it, in other words.
Kind of killed it.
Yeah.
It was sort of interesting because looking at this and seeing that apparently Oklahoma consumes 56% of the country's 3.2 beer.
Really?
And Utah is now interested about this initiative because they apparently are
Utah.
Second.
Yeah.
Utah is second at 29%.
What is
I
was getting you some music.
Oh, it only took five. Some background music.
Let's see.
And now the news.
So I mean, it's been said that this is going to help the beer industry, but of course the opponents are saying that it caused an unfair advantage in the marketplace, which I'm like, what marketplace?
Wait a minute.
You didn't really have one
there
except for the
no
state.
Marketplace.
Exactly. So it's supposed to, now that it's passed, it's supposed to go into effect. Unfortunately, it's got to wait until 2018.
Now, why is that has it have to wait the rest of this year, all of next year for it to kick in?
Because Jesus has to say it's okay.
Besides that.
Because Mormon Jesus has to say
no,
it's okay.
No, that's Utah.
Jesus. You got there before I did.
That's Utah, though. What about OKC?
Well, no. That's what I'm saying.
Earthquake? Would you prefer earthquake Jesus?
Tornado Jesus.
So what Rob's saying is that it won't go into effect
in Oklahoma. Yeah, Utah is just interested because they were watching the initiative and obviously being the second state in the country consuming 3.2 beer, that they wanted to see what would happen. So now that it's passed, they kind of have a little bit of an interest to see what's going to happen. And now you've got all these breweries that have been making all this 3.2 beer that's going into that area.
So is there any laws in regards to ABV rules in Mexico?
If there are, I'm not aware of them.
All right, you can go, Matt.
I was going to say, how many 3.2 ABV beers do you think you could drink in a day if you just sat with 3.2?
A lot.
At least 30.
30.
I can drink 3.8, which is most English dark milds. I can drink that all day.
I'd say 30.
Easy, yeah.
Is it bad if I thought the question was going to be how many 3.2 beers does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I'm just saying. I really was expecting that. Wait, is it Steel Reserve that says like 3.12?
No, 2.11.
Oh, is that what it says? I was like, oh, I'm like.
I think that's.
You're thinking 3.12, the beer from Goose Island that's named 3.12. I mean, I'm just going to throw that there.
I think it's funny is that, I mean, you've got. This 3.2 beer is obviously less ABV than this now spiked water that's coming out.
Spiked water. Hold on.
It's so delicious.
No, we talked about that.
We talked about the sparkling water.
Yeah, that's the same thing. Yeah.
That's annoying.
Truly spiked, 5%.
Isn't that Zima?
Right?
Well, Zima's not at 5%. That's
first
sure.
time I ever threw up was from drinking Zima and 151.
True statement.
Wait, did you mix the two together?
I was going to say, hold on. Yeah,
I was a witness to that event.
Were you trying to cut the 151 with Zima?
No, he was trying to cut the Zima with 151. He was chasing the Zima with 151.
He was chasing the Zima
with
151.
Thank you, Ypsilanti.
That is rough.
What else we got, Rob?
Meanwhile, New Belgium is moving into another state, which now is going to be their 46th state for distribution. Starting in February of 2017, you will be able to find New Belgium in Massachusetts.
Boston.
So obviously, they're going to start out with their typical, the flat tire.
Fat tire.
Flat tire. It's still kind of special.
Whoa.
I know. Freud was right.
Gotta understand, man. I got Colorado roots, and that's.
Yeah. I know. That's on me. Right. But, I mean, it's still the picture. It kind of looks. Never mind.
It does.
Fat tire, Ranger IPA, and Citradelic, as well as I think a couple of their sours may hit the market out there as well.
So no Ben and Jerry's.
So no Ben and I don't think any Ben and Jerry's yet. Right
they have a new one.
Yeah, there's a
cookies and cream.
But they're not making salted caramel
brownie.
It's a chocolate cookie dough.
I don't know,
chocolate chip cookie dough. That's right.
It just sounds too sweet for me.
Yeah.
Laid that up right there. What else we got going on?
I'm gonna just let Billups just handle that layup.
So how
just,
do you think that's gonna? Are there any comments on the Boston Beer Co. in that article about another big beer coming into their market?
Well, I mean, really, it's just the article just kind of mentioned about New Belgium now being. Well, I guess I mean not now being, but I mean basically being the fourth largest craft brewer. Behind the likes of Yingling, Boston Beer, and Sierra Nevada. So, obviously, with them coming into Massachusetts, that is going to give them a little bit of competition. It is a question of how they're going to handle that and whether or not you know, does New Belgium take over?
No.
And I don't see how they can take over Boston Beer's home.
You're not going to take over Boston Beer in Boston.
I mean, Boston Beer is going to, you know.
Just as New Belgium's not going to take over Sierra Nevada in California or Yingling in Pennsylvania. It's going to have the exact same effect Fat Tire had here in Michigan. Everyone's going to go crazy because you can get it now easily, and then nobody's going to care. But the thing is that in Massachusetts, in Boston, you're not even 2 hours away from so many other states that carry Fat Tire to where if you wanted it, you could get it.
Right. You're not that far away from Alchemist.
Can you get in Rhode Island or... I'm thinking Massachusetts.
I would assume at
New Hampshire, 46, Rhode Island.
At 46, oh, yeah, this is right. The 46th state. My assumption was
I don't know who the other four states are.
I'm going to go with Hawaii, Alaska, Alex.
Utah and Oklahoma, maybe.
There you go. So everybody else in that little penis shape of the Northeast.
I don't think that they sell New Belgium in 3-2 yet, so you're probably right.
You know, they might not have it in Maryland then either, because I know Maryland has that law. So
I was gonna say I'm going to Maryland on Sunday. I'm like, damn, I don't even know what kind of beer. I'm just gonna go to DC.
Yeah, in Maryland you
wait. What part of Maryland are you giving?
Baltimore.
Oh, all right, that's an hour drive.
I'm gonna take the train.
So then an hour and a half.
Yeah. Yes.
Just a quick note of advice: you can't buy beer in, like he said, Kroger's, Walmart, so on and so forth. You're going to have to go to like a tavern that has a to-go license.
The beer store.
There you go.
The beer store. Man, you were like tuning in.
Would you like to sit on one other's lap?
Brian, is
come
this
here,
like
buddy.
When we load up?
Been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
Is this like when we load up the shopping cart with Mike's Hard Lemonade? Like hundreds of bottles?
Hold up. I'm having memories of 1999.
Yeah.
No, this is going to be more like a New Year's Eve party where there's a bunch of Fat Tire, but Fat Tire doesn't exist in Michigan yet.
Yeah,
and everybody else drinks it but me.
Well,
go on with
Ken
the
was delivering.
You were delivering
to everyone's houses. I remember that.
Bit of old news. You know, we probably could have covered this last week or maybe the week before. Concerning, of course, Nick's little can of coffee bender as made by Surly.
Oh, yeah, that's huge.
And Todd Hogue stepped down as the head of brewing operations, pretty much left back in October. To, quote, pursue other opportunities and challenges in the industry. And it pretty much exactly, as Kent just said, that challenge is now Three Floyds Brewing out of Indiana. So apparently he is not taking over for the current brewer, Chris Bogus. But there's these plans to expand and open a new distillery. Chris apparently is looking to obviously make his own beers. And then now you've got Todd, who is more likely going to make his own beers. So you're basically just going to have this frickin' Destructicon of
Surly's
beer
gonna
coming
get
out of
out
here.
Soon.
It's pretty much is that Todd kind of feels like Surly is just going to get worse now that he's not there. I mean, essentially...
Is there a quote on that?
There was a quote on that. I didn't write what I assume
Surly owns all the rights to their own beer, therefore they own the recipes and they can just create it and not have too much of an issue. And now you're going to have a brand new brewer, which means you're going to have brand new beers, which means it's going to be a whole new identity for Surly tied in. It's going to be I feel it's the same way as what Nick the Brewer did at Black Lotus.
Uh-huh.
You have all the Black Lotus, your Detroit hip hops and all their standards, and then you have all these brand new beers that Nick the Brewer brought in, and you're just like, oh crap, Black Lotus is good again.
Right.
And Gordie Howell.
I think that was kind of the scare because it's like Todd is Surly. And he's basically the brand and the attitude.
And in comparison, you're talking like if Larry Bell left Bell's and went to work for somebody else.
Exactly.
He went to Shorts.
or outside. Joe Short. I always want to say Jim Short because of Jim Schwartz. But it's Joe. Like if Joe Short left Shorts and went to like Fort Street Brewing or something like that, and you're like, okay.
Or you know where else he could go?
Joe
North Center Brewing.
He could go to North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan, on North Center Road. just south of Baseline. Go check out Kevin and the gang over there. Grab some delicious beer. Full size shuffleboard, so you can go play. Not the
stick shuffleboard.
Not the stick shuffleboard. But you
don't
can.
They have some bullshit trivia thing?
Yeah, Wednesdays. Aren't you hosting trivia there soon?
There is Sporkle Live trivia that's there every Wednesday, I believe at 8 o'clock, with Mr. Antonio is hosting.
Wait, I thought it was somebody else that was hosting.
I will be hosting trivia there on November 30th. So
I think we need to have a field trip there.
Make sure to stay away on November 30th.
So, yeah, I was going to say,
November 30th,
day.
Better on Draft takes over.
Yeah, I'm going to bring y'all asses out there.
we'll do a live remote.
I'll make a special trip. All you need is me and Ken. We kind of crushed it. Was that Monday?
We got crushed.
Well, we were doing good up until the last round. We were like
One of the questions was like, name the two people who were the ice dancing champions at the Olympics from Royal Oak. And I'm like, I don't know.
Chaz McMichael.
Thank you for the Blades of Glory. Reference, but no.
Oh my god!
Up until that point, we were killing it. Actually,
I have no idea what their names were, and we were told the answer. Rob, do you know the names?
He still doesn't know.
We pulled out shit like Anthony Hopkins. Torval
and Dean. Oh wait, no, that was like some other country a long time.
Brian Boitano and Nancy Kerrigan.
Charlie White and Meryl Davis.
Yeah, they were on.
Giant douche and turd sandwich.
Oh,
Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt
and Lolo Moja.
Chloe and Lamar.
Harold and Kumar.
I was going to say, isn't it, what's the iced tea and cocoa?
Oh, no, they're not together now. They got divorced. Come on.
Did she wanted lemonade instead of iced tea?
That's probably it. She probably heard Beyonce's album.
Wiz Khalifa and Amber Rose.
Okay, they're not together either. You need to get on your gangster rap. You need to watch Love
that's
and Hip Hop or
something. Gangster rap.
Black China and Rob Kardashian.
They just had a baby. Congrats out to the...
Rob, keep just this is going to the next
day. This is
exactly why when I write questions, I don't write about this shit. Because I don't want to see
so
you
wait,
succeed
are you saying
at trivia.
That the other Sporkle Live hosts do shit like that?
No. There's only about eight content writers.
Okay.
So we keep
that. So they don't write about TMZ.
Yeah, but only one of them is good, and we still don't know who
TMZ
that one
is.
TMZ is
only the only place to get my news from.
Yeah,
so.
I know. They're the only reliable source out there right now.
We do what we can. I think we do a pretty damn good job.
No, you're right.
Sporkle Trivia
live every day.
And Quizzo, I've just got three words for you. Geeks who drink.
I've heard a lot about that.
Those are three words that are never considered
Geeks who drink
together.
Up here, and it's not fun.
No. No.
That's because you've never played it where it was originated, my friend.
That's because you've never played Quizzo with me hosting.
And probably it needs to stay where it was originated.
Wow. Shots fired.
Holy crap. Uh-oh.
I mean,
let's continue with the news before we get onto the turf war.
Into the fist fight.
All I can say is they're supposed to be at Hopcat in Detroit every Wednesday at 8 o'clock, and I'm sitting there at the bar with all my coworkers from Detroit Diesel, and the dude didn't show up at all. So
that's because you need a member of America's team, Lick My Love Pump, to show up and show you guys something. That is America's team from Geeks Who Drink, and trust me, if we were there, we would help you with your victory.
Well, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure one of my other teams, Huff and My Muff, would give you enough contention.
Obviously, you guys have never ran into the beast train that's called Jared Loves Kids menus.
Wrote about Anne Frank's hide and seek.
Oh yeah, hide and seek.
What about the brief stint with it's pronounced karate? No.
I'm partial to bobbing for French fries with Helen Keller.
This show is going to hell.
Dad is about to lose the beer. Meanwhile,
that was close.
Who invited the Texans?
That was really
meanwhile
cool.
Back in the farm.
There was almost some foam that needed to be replaced there. Moving on. meanwhile,
give him some water.
CultureTrip.com contributor Samuel Spencer published an article labeling what he believes are the 10 best breweries in Michigan. Which I kind of thought it'd be really tough to kind of cut that down to 10, but
well, let's see let's see if we can get some.
Okay,
let's start with Founders.
Yes,
Nick, you get a guess.
I'm cheating. I'm looking at it.
He is looking at
all
it.
All right, Matt, you get a guess.
I've kind of seen him as well.
Oh, my God.
So you a top 10 list in
Michigan? So it's me and Dan.
And
Brian can chime in. I said Founders.
Yeah. Shorts.
Shorts.
Yeah, yes.
We did our five, so Bells. This isn't that hard.
Yes.
New Holland?
No.
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 No. Wow. Atwater?
No.
Shatwater?
Shorts.
Yes.
Wait, I said Shorts.
Yeah, I said Shorts.
Shorts. So hold on. We got Bells, Founders, Shorts.
Mm-hmm. They were here 2 weeks ago.
I was gonna say
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, Dragon Maid.
Yes.
Yep.
Four. Wow, that's really weird. That's over there over Shorts.
Yeah.
Right Brain.
Yes.
Good choice. All right, so we're at five.
No, Shorts was on New Holland, wasn't? Which is weird.
Yeah, New Holland wasn't.
Halfway there.
Halfway there. All right.
I have no idea.
Do you have a guess, Brandon or Brian?
Detroit.
I haven't lived in Michigan in 15 years.
What was your early 30s like?
My guess is Hurricane High Gravity Lager.
Yeah, we had a lot of that. A lot of that. Yes, we did.
Top 10 breweries, and it's really, really, really hard to...
Should we start giving some hints there, Rob?
No.
You want to have them stew on it?
One is super
quinoa.
One is super low.
Quinoa.
Super one is super local. Super local.
Super, like, Royal Oak Brewery?
Okay, not that local.
Not that local.
Griffin Claw?
Ken, you were recently there.
No, Griffin Claw. Roke?
No. Recently there.
That was just there on Monday.
Yeah, we were there on Monday.
Koonin?
There you go.
Yes.
I was there Tuesday.
Yeah. That's ultra hipster. Like, Koonin.
Right. Next clue. They were also here when
no,
Ken...
No, it's not a bad thing.
They were here in that room when Ken wasn't here.
I was going to say...
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah.
Of the four that are left, only one of them has been on the show.
So, Odd Side.
Yes. Odd Side. Yes.
Then you've got one out of Dexter, Michigan.
That's Jolly Pumpkin.
One out of Marshall, Michigan.
Dark Horse.
Mm-hmm.
And then one out of what it's called, Michigan. Right? Dexter.
No, Grand Rapids.
I thought it was out of that
Dexter
city's name.
Davison?
It's got like a Celtic symbol in it.
I don't know. Just tell me.
Arcadia.
Oh. Okay. Arcadia is not like Bell or Kalamazoo.
Oh, I thought it would be Arcadia. Wow.
Close enough.
So, yeah. So, the list was not in any particular order. So, again, it is Bell's, Odd Side, Right Brain, Founders, Shorts, Koonin, Jolly Pumpkin, Arcadia, Dark Horse, and Dragon Meat.
So, it was made by someone from Metro Detroit. Simple as that.
Yeah. Had to be.
Yeah.
So I know
the only way you're going to have Koonin and Dragon Meat on that list.
Right. If you drink it at the
you can't get them anywhere else
except for local.
Of
yeah.
Yeah. That's why I was like, that's a real
Koonin thing. Doesn't distribute and Dragon Meat distributes very local.
Well, right. Koonin distributes, but only in kegs. But at the same rate, it could be one of those things where you just look at another list of Michigan's top 10 and Koonin's always there because of Drippa. So it could be just him stealing somebody else's polls or other surveys.
Well, I guess, I know like Matt said, that we talked about what our top fives were, but based on this list, is there anything that you would kick out and replace? What would you replace it with?
I would put Griffin Claw on there. But
I was going to say Griffin Claw, Atwater, Rochester Mills.
Even Perrin.
Perrin's up there, especially. I mean, Perrin's been, it's so new. And really, no, I mean, how long have you been gone, Brandon?
4 years.
Perrin's younger than that.
I would politely probably remove Arcadia and Jolly Pumpkin.
Yeah, I would move Arcadia easily.
And Jolly Pumpkin, especially.
Jolly Pumpkin's great for what they are, but in an overall brewery sense, no.
Brian, what do you think about Jolly Pumpkin?
I was going to say, do you get Jolly Pumpkin down there?
No. You're like, what are you even talking about?
I'm like, dude, Halloween was last week. I'm just saying. There's nothing jolly about pumpkins at this point in time.
I asked simply because, like, my buddy in Seattle actually gets Jolly Pumpkin, but it's so small and so rare that it's hard to actually get it. So their distribution is not necessary. Like, our top five were Bell's, Koonin, Dragon Meat, Griffin Claw, and Rochester Mills. And you can tell that was because we're Metro Detroiters. Mm-hmm. That list is simply because we're Metro Detroiters. I think it'd be a lot different if we had someone from Grand Rapids in. Founders, Jaden James. Well, Jaden James simply because of their peanut butter.
Damn right.
What's it called?
That has a name, yeah.
It is Monkey Butter.
Monkey butter.
It's kind of racist.
I don't want to drink it anymore because
it's only racist because you just said it.
No,
racist. nothing racist with that name.
Do we have any other news as we're going to try to ring that back in?
I guess one thing I kind of ran, it was like this weird thing from the archives that was talking about the days of Corona. When Corona came out back in 79, it pretty much just took storm. It just like was the world was taken by storm when it hit the streets, and its popularity just kind of shot up in the import market behind the likes of Heineken at the time, and it looked like it was going to take off until there was suddenly this rumor that hit the world that Corona was brewed with urine. And
what?
And yeah, the
rumor. And Heineken isn't.
Yeah. So basically, this rumor just completely took off, and it said that sales had dropped up to like 80% in some places. You had stores that were sending it back. You had bars that were banning it. And then, of course, investigations were done to trace the rumor's roots, and it found out the root of the rumor was from Heineken.
Figure.
So of course Corona sued, and you know they eventually got it through settling. But of course, you know, the rumor hit. I mean, the damage is already done. Barely anybody's drinking Corona at the time.
How do you do that?
That's what I'm trying to figure
and
out.
And survive as a company,
right?
That doesn't make any sense. Like, how do you defame a company so bad? And it's proven that it's you, and you're just like, whatever.
So, Brandon,
both are still.
Well, he might know. Is Corona brewed with urine?
You know, I'm not in part of their. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
No, I don't brew Corona. Thank God. But
thank God.
Do you help brew
is that
Corona?
Why you put a lime in it
with yes. your byproduct?
No.
Tell us about the lime thing. Is that a Mexican thing or is that just a gringo thing?
It's a Mexican thing, man. Okay. Like lime in everything, but mostly to gringos. Okay. So that's white people, if you didn't know.
I read that in social studies once.
All right. No, but
gringos are limes and everything.
No, but no, they put limes in it, and then the big
Narcos
thing down there is micheladas, which is basically like lime. You got some like
tomato
Worcestershire soy, spicy peppers and stuff like.
Damn.
Yeah,
it's a mixture. I mean, they got a few different kinds, but
Brian's like, yeah, that's what we do.
They put everything in their Corona down there. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, basically, as we talked about earlier, the beer down there is so
fucking
watered down that you got to add at least some kind of flavor to
so
it.
So you're saying is Corona's like a chip, and then they just put the salsa in it, and then they drink.
Exactly. Yes.
That's exactly how this beer is shit. So I have to put everything else.
Oh
in
my
it.
God!
Now, Dan, you brought up a good point. You said, "Why do that? Drink another beer?" They do, at least in San Antonio,
like 12 to 20 times a day.
It's unfortunately, it's called Lone Star. It's pretty bad.
Is that like Alamo? Like if I was watching King of the Hill,
Lone Star. It's like the it's like the Miller High Life of Texas, dude.
Oh
it's,
man, it's, I gotta go drink some of this. Oh, so get a dirty 30 and just kill some Lone Star.
So, I guess, real quick, have you guys ever heard any rumor I would doubt there's any rumor that would make you stop drinking beer because obviously there was something that is some harmful chemical that is in Newcastle that obviously has not stopped Dan from drinking it.
No, Newcastle gives you cancer.
Yeah,
it's like the one beer that's old news.
Well, I mean, when they did say that was glass of Corona, they kind of put a halt on it. But that could just be from Heineken.
I've heard rumors about, like, glycol or some sort of something.
I mean, anything that would have stopped you from drinking a beer.
Yeah, glass in my Corona would definitely stop
you. Well, that would.
I mean, that wasn't a rumor. That was true. And then they did a recall.
I mean, there could have been piss in beer in the
70s.
Yeah. But I mean, neither of us were drinking beer to know.
I mean, I haven't had a Corona since
2 weeks ago.
I was going to say, yeah, it's only like a month for me.
Last time I had Corona is when...
3 weeks ago.
Wait.
You're right. But, all right, before that.
I was going to say, yeah, the last time I had a Corona willingly.
Me and a certain very muscular individual were hanging out with and people in whatever team you guys had together. And him and I sat there and killed a six-pack in 15 minutes.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. And we are back. Episode 58 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken. Sitting here, we still got a full-on studio. Brandon from Cerveza Cancun. Brandon from San Antonio. Brandon, wow.
Brandon from
San Antonio.
San Antonio, hello.
I was going to say, I've known you since you turned 40. Oh, the music playing. It's five questions on that bush.
I hate you.
I hate you guys.
I hate you. Screw you guys. I'm going.
I hate you guys.
Matt Bush, this is your jam. Let's do it.
Thanks for wasting my music on Rob.
You welcome, Matt Bush.
All right. All right. So you can put that down. That's question three.
I'm going to go with the urine Corona.
That'd be the third time he's brought Corona in.
Urine or you're in?
In honor of Veterans Day, we have Veterans Day themed questions. So the first question is always geography.
Mm-hmm.
So the first question is, in what 1990s conflict were American soldiers denied beer? So there was a conflict in this country in the
1990 conflict.
Yes. Wait, hold on. In this country, like the U.S. or the country you're wanting us to
answer? There were American soldiers deployed to this country in the 90s, and they were denied beer.
So the 90s, we had what? We had Iraq.
Was Nicaragua, Panama?
I would say Panama.
Kuwait.
That's what I'm talking about. Iraq.
Well, Kuwait was part of
Kuwait. They're not going to deny liquor in.
No.
Central America. I want to talk.
I said beer, not liquor.
Okay, yep. Same thing. Okay. Go order.
I think Iraq was. I think it's too obvious.
Could be.
But it could be, though.
Brandon, how do you feel about geography?
The other option Central America.
My history lessons have not prepared me for this question.
Come on, Quizmasters, Ken.
I'm trying to think of other conflicts in the 90s.
You said 90s or 90?
Yes. In the 1990s, there was a conflict in this country.
This included American soldiers.
Okay. American soldiers were deployed to this country. Okay. They were denied beer.
Okay. So American soldiers were obviously.
See, I was thinking early 90s, but I think it's like mid to late. I'm guessing Bosnia.
Bosnia-Herzegovina,
late 90s.
I'm going to agree with Quizmaster Ken Kalan.
The breaking up the Yugoslavia. Yeah.
I was thinking Kuwait or like
When did Black Hawk Down happen? Mogadishu, when did that happen?
That was Somalia.
When did Mogadishu is in Somalia?
Correct. Yes, he was asking for a time.
When did that happen? Hold on, because
that was
Bush.
In the 90s.
Or no, that was during the Clinton.
Yeah, so obviously it's during the 90s.
It's one of the two then.
Bosnia or Somalia?
Yeah, it's got to be one of the two. Or it could be the obvious.
Lick My Love Pump.
I will say that on America's Team, Lick My Love Pump, I was not the geography expert. His name was Downtown Thomas Brown, and unfortunately, he's not in this room this evening.
The original Iraq War was based out of Saudi Arabia. That was the early 90s. You have the whole Black Hawk Down thing.
Yeah, I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know if they served beer in the movie.
Well, no, you're not going to go to Saudi Arabia. You couldn't get beer to save your life there unless you're in the underground part of that.
Mogadishu,
there's another. It's a hardline Islamic country.
But what about, is it easy to get beer in Somalia as much as it is? Like, I don't
know.
That's
a good question. I don't know the whole. I don't know what the underground scene of that. So this is a tough
question. Pretty much
every
country that you guys like threw out.
I'm going to go ahead and just give you a clue that you've named the right country.
I'm sure we have.
Bosnia or Somalia.
But it could be Panama, too. That whole thing.
Nah. Yeah, but we haven't mentioned Panama. And he said
I mentioned Panama.
Yeah, did you?
Was it Panama in the 80s?
That's the thing about Panama.
Absolutely. I don't think it's Panama.
By Van Halen, yes.
I'm all like, Panama!
Exactly.
All right, off the rails. Back to the rails.
I'm sticking with Bosnia.
I think it's Bosnia.
Brandon,
I really don't
vote?
Think it's Somalia.
All right.
Go Bosnia, man.
It is Bosnia.
All right. Yeah.
Nice. That's why you hire Quizmaster from Quizzo. Not geeks who drink. Not Sporkle.
Kenko, lick my love pump.
Now, this is a layup.
Won't the real Colin Kaepernick please stand up?
Oh, jeez.
I'm sure he'll quiz on your face when he sporkles.
Only if he's from the Quizlamic estate.
Yes.
All right.
Now, this one's a layup because I want to get to the question number three. But during the Revolutionary War, where did the militias meet to discuss strategy?
Where did the militias meet? At the tavern, man.
to discuss strategy.
Are we talking like city, place, name?
No, like place? In general communities.
They met at the bar.
Yes, at the pubs, at the public houses. Yes, yes.
At the bar.
So question three is going to be what's in your mouth?
Yeah.
Oh.
Put it in my mouth.
Put it like that.
So
everybody check out the mouth.
So I'm pretty much the one
that
can't
even drink this.
I explain the rules so that the
actually
the people...
to be we have changed the rules this week.
What?
This is I did buy it as a single, so I do have a single in my pocket.
Very familiar.
However, it's not necessarily associated with the singles door, but Ken's face looks like it should be.
See, you need to change the rules like Wheel of Fortune, no, you know, where they already give you like the six letters. You need to already give us whether or not it's in a 40.
Okay, first
this
of all,
beer hurts my ears.
This is something that I can almost guarantee that everyone here has had.
Budweiser.
So I'm familiar that I know that you guys should be able to put your finger on in or near it.
Oh my God.
It tastes like a 5-year-old Jolly Rancher.
Like I said, my first guess is urine Corona, but I think probably the best, man. It's the best.
You like this? Oh, he's guessing Beast. We haven't had Beast yet.
I'm thinking like Natty Light.
Well, we had.
I know he dropped the Natty Daddy on us a couple weeks
ago. Oh, that's right. Yeah, you did tell me that. Yeah, it's comparable though. It's
Keystone.
God.
It's very watery. So we got two questions.
We've got two
is
questions.
This Ice House?
No, stop.
This figured out
definitely not
this figured out last week, but one of the people coming in last minute telling me no it's not when I knew it was
what
ruined it. I'm talking about the Steel
Kalen,
Reserve.
What was the question though?
No, Dan thought it was Steel Reserve last week and he would have been right.
Was it last week?
Yeah,
when
it was
that
last
happened,
week.
Yeah, and
she's
like, no, that's not Steel Reserve.
I would have had gut right.
Yeah, no, it was Steel Reserve. So do we go with it? Does it come in a 40? Because right. that
I'm
going to
go ahead and just
last week.
Put this out there. This is not associated with the singles door.
Yeah,
if it's not associated,
he got it in a singles door.
If it's not,
so you can find it in singles,
but can you? Do we ask? Can you also find it though? In a so you?
No, I think
that's what you're wasting a question.
Yeah,
we haven't asked you. We're talking between us.
Okay, okay.
Does that mean?
Oh my God!
Does that mean you can't get it then in a?
So
that means you can't get it in a.
I'm
hold on. I've got a question. I think this is going to help us a little bit. Is this brewed in America?
Yes.
Okay.
Hold on, but if it's not associated with the single store, it means you can't get it in a 40, a 32, a 24, anything.
I think I have an idea already.
What do you think?
I think it's Landshark.
No.
I haven't drank enough Landshark.
If that is, then it's certainly nothing I've ever had before. Because yeah, this. It pretty much just tastes like a 5-year-old used Jolly Rancher.
I will say I've drank enough Landshark at Greektown Casino to know that this is not Landshark.
This is not Landshark. Right.
This means it doesn't come in any.
So this is brewed
12.
In America, though. Well, it could be a sixer, it could be a 24.
But if 24s don't come in. If it's a 24, it's in a single.
Yeah, but he bought it in a single.
I bought it in a single. I'm not going to mention its denomination. It would give it away. However.
God, it's rough.
Is your nose
It's not Four Loko rough?
Is your nose bleeding?
Not yet. Yeah, no. The Four Loko made my nose bleed.
Well, so it's brewed within the United States. That's obviously, that's a big thing. So it's obviously no Canadian lager, no foreign lager, no Mexican lager.
Correct.
So we're... I mean, we're still in like the malt liquor slash.
This shit makes my blood hurt.
And you guys,
the faces that Brian's giving is hysterical.
It tastes familiar, but I can't pinpoint it.
I just keep thinking that our good friends in Calgary would try and get this stuff out of a water fountain.
I'm
stumped.
Shit.
We're stumped because we enjoy good
beer.
Yeah.
If you like it. Then it's a good beer.
Yeah. So do we use the other question? Does it come in a 40? That will.
Hold on. I'm going to set up a fake question, and Matt Bush will follow. Hey, Matt, where could you get this beer?
You could get this beer at a place like Zatuna Liquor.
Zatuna Liquor.
In Rochester Hills. On Rochester Road, just out to 59.
Bing!
Say hello to Jack and Gus for us. And I would guarantee you this is at Zatuna Liquor.
Oh. We even get a bonus hint. I don't know what that matters.
Dan, do you think we could buy it at the Pied Piper?
Oh, I'm sure we could. I guarantee we could go down there right now and get a ton of this.
So I guess this is going to be my generous hint for you this week. Okay?
Generous hint, okay.
I want you to think of when you go to a Kroger, when there's the make-your-own six-pack for $9.99,
You would find this more than likely in that general area.
What the hell, Kroger, do you shop
you don't,
at?
You don't, well, the, oh, apparently no. the...
Kroger breaks down a lot of random shit.
Yeah, they do.
Do you not have a Kroger that breaks up, like, almost all of their six packs into singles?
I live in Detroit.
Oh, so probably
I
not.
I don't have a
There's
Kroger.
There's no Kroger.
He has the corner store.
He's got the Meijer.
He's got Pied Piper.
The Meijer in Detroit.
Even the Krogers that I have in the area don't even... The one in Southfield doesn't do that?
No, they don't.
No.
No, they don't.
The one in Livonia on or Middlebelt?
Rob, you shop at the Pied Piper on Livernois?
Hell no. I'd take my ass to Meijer.
That would be the Pied Piper on 6 Mile in Livernois. Say hello to Pops and tell him Dan and Brian sent you.
Flashback to the 90s.
Dude, while you're there, visit Dotton at a shrimp hut.
And the Black Orchid?
Oh, yeah, the Black Orchid.
So what does
Man,
it taste like? Dan, what does it taste like? Can you describe what's in your
it
mouth
It tastes
right
like
now?
Malt liquor. I know this taste. I just don't know what it is. That's what's killing me.
Brandon, do you have any left? What does it smell like?
I can't ask anyone
I have
anyone
some left
here.
Because this is just too hard to choke.
Nick, have you finished yours?
No, not yet.
What does it smell like, if you could smell to the audience?
It smells like soap.
Everything smells like soap.
Again,
it smells like soap.
Right.
You have... A weird fascination with soap. So
it smells like it.
It's what you use every day to wash your body.
I would say soap, you know Band-Aid. You know,
I mean, it does
Band-Aid.
Almost smell like Irish
gauze. Maybe back alley dumpster. I don't know.
Yeah.
Would this be Latin back alley dumpster or American back alley dumpster?
American back alley.
American.
Dumpster.
The Latin will have no a little spice to here. It.
Come on, people.
Oh, my God. I have no come on. Idea.
You have pulled out Keystone Ice out of your ass. I expected generally better from you guys.
Man, this is harder than
we still Maddie. Have one more question.
Yeah.
We know right. It's an American beer. God, I really...
This shit is harder than two-day-old shit. I ain't playing with you. This is nasty.
Play the 40 one that you're
no,
avoiding.
It's not. It's not in a 40. He said it's not
in a single.
Yeah,
normally.
He said you would normally not get realm. It in a single.
I haven't drank beer this bad in like 12 years. So I have no idea, like,
not I haven't
since,
drank
not
beer
since
this
Diablo's.
Bad in 12 hours.
I mean, I really have nothing. I have nothing.
Neither do I.
Hold on. So
after
we'll,
drinking
we'll
this, I'm surprised
40,
I still have
but
dignity.
But it comes in a single, so we have 12.
No. He bought it in a single from Kroger, so obviously...
I didn't buy it at a Kroger, to be honest, but you would find it in your single sections at Kroger.
So it's pretty much a 12-ounce beer. It's
Kroger doesn't sell any 40s, any 24s, any 32s.
They do, but not in the make-your-own six-pack section.
Is that where it came
from? That's what he said you would find it in the make-your-own six-pack, yes. So it's a 12-ounce. But he said that it's not something you would find normally in a 40 or, you know, a single shelf. You would not find this in a single shelf normally.
So outside of that, what do we have? We have, like, Natural Light, Natural Ice.
Well, you're
thinking
at...
too low end, Dan. You're thinking
so wait,
too low
so,
end.
So if
hold
it's,
on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Hold on, hold on. Because we have absolutely no idea, I'm going to try to either get it or not get it.
All right.
Is this brewed in Michigan?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think I have your answer.
Uh-oh.
Is this badass?
Oh, no, no,
no,
no, no.
Do not
tell me that I just
This
drank.
Is badass.
Is this badass?
Is that your official guess?
Yeah, I think it is.
Stroh.
New Stroh.
New Stroh.
New Stroh.
Oh, man.
Same makers.
And that is why.
And that's why it tastes like shit.
Damn it. I was going to say new Stroh's until you said badass. And I'm like, oh, it might be badass.
Oh, my God.
Why did you say that before we...
Because I believe it was...
Now I hate this now.
No,
we hated it last time. No, I liked it. Now I can't stand it.
Wait, you liked it when we had it?
Yes, he did. We gave him the rest.
Yeah. No, I didn't know.
The fact that it is Stroh's and not badass means that I actually feel like I still have self-worth.
Stroh's is spoken here. I'm just saying.
Well, all right. This is new Stroh's, by the way, not old Stroh's.
All right, question number four. In the Civil War, morphine cost 25 cents. Was a pint of beer more or less?
Less.
Wow, that was resounding.
Oh, yeah, PBR was a lot less than 25 cents.
It was 15 cents, so 25.
PBR was around during the Civil War.
Then lastly, to finish off the vet edition of five questions.
Yeah.
During World War II, the USDA rationed off what portion of the beer supply to soldiers? And I have multiple choice here.
Okay.
We have 10%, we have 15%, we have 25%, or 30%.
What percent of the beer supply was rationed to soldiers in World War II?
Was this soldiers worldwide or Europe?
This
or
is America. The U.S.
Civil War.
Center. I know.
He's afraid of American soldiers, II, so not
World War II.
Not Allied
said,
soldiers.
Oh, I thought you said Civil War.
Civil War. They, was it all? A previous question. Was it Whoops. All U.S. soldiers?
That's
was
what
it
I'm just guessing.
On all fronts, or was it just the ones that are stationed?
We're talking the Pacific, or are we talking
okay.
Europe?
As
Europe.
I was not there to specifically measure that, from what I read,
Rob and I were there.
Yeah. I was there right. too, apparently.
Actually, he shot Franz Ferdinand, so that worked out.
Wow, that was Shit. World War I. So
wait, I thought that was just a band.
Wow.
You what? Got there before I could, Dan. I was waiting for the dramatic pause, but yeah.
Yeah, I didn't.
So the way the factoid read to me is this: the USDA made a mandate or a declaration that said X amount of your beer's production
as
is,
you break
as
things.
You break the bottle.
I broke nothing.
You're
Stros.
Right. You broke Stros.
It's only a Stros.
Yeah.
The USDA made a proclamation that X amount of this of your beer supply needs to go to the soldiers. I'm assuming since it was the USDA, it was to the U.S. troops. I could be 100% wrong, but I'm going to guess the way it
what
read.
What were the percentages?
10, 15, 25, and 30.
I say 15. That's just
me. I was thinking 25, but since it's such a
10, 15, 25, and 30. So is what that? Percent was dedicated or portioned to soldiers?
I was thinking 25, but because we had a lot of guys fighting there and we had on multiple fronts.
And multiple backs.
Yep, I'm thinking 15.
But were they getting drunk, though?
I don't think. You have the U.S. crunk. Beer supply across both the Pacific and the English or the European theater.
Pacific.
I think it's 10.
It's got to be lower. I can't imagine a quarter of the.
Well, no, 10 was the lowest 15. Option.
10?
No,
15.
No, I'm saying, but we're 25. Yeah, oh. 10 or 15 is.
Brandon said 15.
I can imagine
Brian
shipping 30% of the beer out of the
country. I was going to go on that high end. I was going to say 30% because I think back in the day they were probably a little more liberal with that, whereas today they'd be like, drink water.
But, oh, you're
you know,
right.
Today, granted, I'm the Polish guy. Well, one of the Polish guys in the group, so, you know, what do I know?
Who's the other Polish
definitely
guy?
Definitely talking about back in the day when they made sandwiches, you had, you know, pieces what? Of bread that were 2 inches thick.
What year?
Spam.
What year did the United States enter the war? Was it 40?
41.
41?
41.
741.
Yeah.
The day that will live in me.
Yes. I think it's 15. That's my guess.
I was thinking 15.
We got 4 of us that said 15. Dan says sure. Heckler says 30.
15.
Hey, that is compliments of Quizzo.
So you got 4 out of 5 this week.
Lick my love.
Yeah.
I told you, I'm not the history
beer to Warsaw
guy.
During the uprising, or
no?
You know, actually, it makes sense because a lot of the people in Germany and the European theater would be drinking there on you know the French and the English's dime, so they wouldn't have to send. Beer. Well, so I'm thinking most of this beer actually went to
was under,
the Pacific.
Under German
Pacific.
Or Russian control, too, so
well,
it wouldn't be going there.
Didn't part of World War II end up in, like, the northern part of Africa, too?
Yeah.
So it could have...
Well, yeah, it was a good part of it.
Yeah, but part of it could have gone there.
I mean,
definitely to the Pacific.
It would have all gone really to the Pacific into the North Africa.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, everywhere... You can't walk 5 feet in Europe without getting a brewery.
Hey, here's bonus question number 6. Where the last fight in World War I would Franz Ferdinand come up? Does anyone know where that
last
happened?
Last fight in World War
The last
War
battle
I.
in World War I.
World War I. I wasn't there, Rob.
Was it at your mom's house?
Bonus question.
Zing!
I'll give you my half a beer. No,
why you gotta... Whoa, wait. Why
are you asking for a country or
shit?
The name of the battle? Or
you can name the country, the city.
Brussels.
No, it was Windhoek, Namibia.
Oh.
Southern
what?
Africa.
What?
Huh. The last German stronghold still...
In World War I or II?
World War I.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, that's because he brought up France.
Well, I didn't think they...
Yeah.
I'm playing Battlefield 1 right now, so I haven't gotten that far.
Hey, is it too late for me to change my answer? I want to change it to 15% because apparently the U.S. Department of Agriculture actually ordered that 15% of all beer production in the United States be set aside for the troops.
Did you get that from all beer facts? Which is the same place?
All about beer, actually. Yeah.
I got it from the exact same place.
I just couldn't pull it up fast enough to cheat. That's how we do it at Geeks Who Drink.
That's why you do the whole, oh, I need to go to the bathroom.
That's what Ken does. That's Ken's
I do
move.
That. For the visual round, when I get there, I'm like, I'm going to go to the bathroom and look these up.
That's when I couldn't remember who the fuck played Hagrid in Harry Potter, and it was annoying the shit out of me.
It was M Meteor.
Wait, what did I say? I said, I forget what I said. Someone read, I'm like, no, that guy's.
Well, the best is, was the
Dimebag Darrell.
The Dimebag Darrell.
No, that.
No, the one old black guy, and we were trying to figure out who the hell, and we literally only named the two old black guys we knew.
Morgan Freeman or Samuel L. Jackson?
No, we were talking like George Washington Carver and Booker T. Washington.
Oh, what about Mark Scarvey?
What about Stevie Ray?
I still have, I don't even remember who the actual person. Frederick Douglass.
Oh, yeah.
Booker T.
Christmas Addicts, good
Booker
call.
T. Booker T. Washington.
Yeah, yeah, complete that. There's a complete difference between Booker T. and Booker T. Washington.
I don't know about that.
So Booker T. Rooney is the difference.
Can you dig it, I mean, sucker?
No, it's the Harlem Flip.
You got to remember that Booker T. was the five-time.
Oh, yeah? Well, Ernest Miller was the three-time world karate champion.
Oh, man.
Booker T.
Is Brandon shaking his head? Brandon, is there any way they can follow Cerveza Cancun on Twitter, Ernest Facebook? Is there like twitter.mx for Mexico?
Is that Glacier's friend?
Right now we're on Twitter, Facebook, and
Instagram,
Snapchat. So. Are you on Tinder?
Or Grindr?
They're on Grindr. No, now, no, next maybe, time I'm in southern Mexico, where do I go?
No, no, no. You're in the penis part of Mexico.
Fly into Belize and walk north.
Okay, yeah, that'll be easier.
Go to www.cervezacancun.com.
How do you spell cerveza, Nick?
C-E-R-V-E-Z-A.
Thank you, Rob.
You're cerveza. Welcome.
You're going to have to let Google Translate it, though.
So it's in Spanish.
Just saying.
I don't trust that.
Español.
No, it's actually a really good translation.
Yeah, it is, until you actually get emails about engines in Spanish.
No.
Hey, that's racist. That's
so
racist,
as we,
Japanese
as kind of,
translations are the worst.
As we kind of break down, I wanted to talk to Brian for a minute, because obviously I haven't gotten a chance to talk to you in a little bit.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. So... You know, you moved from Colorado to Texas, San Antonio specifically. What is the beer culture? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it growing? What is the culture like down in San Antonio?
You know, I kind of mentioned it, unfortunately, a little bit earlier in the podcast to Dan in a side conversation. But in San Antonio, there are actually quite a few really cool brewery-type restaurants. There's one called, I want to say it's called the Mad Monk. It's the Something Monk. Maybe it's the Drunken Monk. I can't remember at this time because I'm really far from San Antonio.
The Sober Monk?
No, anyway, there's monk involved. But anyway, they have, I want to say about 80 or 90 different beers to choose from there. And that is about the closest that I have seen
to... Hoppy Monk?
The Hoppy Monk. Thank you very much, Nick. That is about... I've been there, but I didn't quite catch the name. That is about the closest to anything that I've seen in either... Colorado, which we had Old Chicago, which had 100 beers. And then, of course, here in Michigan, there's just, you know, in Royal Oak alone, there's so many different places you can go for different beers. So aside from that, though, Ken, I'll tell you, it's a pretty sad state of affairs. Most of the folks in San Antonio are either like Dos Equis or Lone Star Beer, which is literally like the, you know, the Bud Light of Texas. It's
or the Strohs.
99 taps over at the Hoppy Monk.
I was going to say, there was a lot, and it's... I've enjoyed it. Some friends of mine turned me on to it, and I've really enjoyed many of the beers that they have there. But overall, it's a pretty sad state of affairs, and hopefully we'll get to change that. But right now it's a little rough.
So one of the groups that I'm in regards to beer groups is San Antonio's Let's Talk Beer. So they do have some breweries out there. So if you've never been there, this is obviously going to be a learning experience for you. But they got Ranger Creek, Brancheen, Busted Sandal, Freetail.
I was just going to say, is Freetail on there? Because I actually have been to Freetail, and that aside from Hoppy Monk is actually a pretty good option.
So there's not too many more. Mad Pecker, The Granary, Southerlay, Blue Star, Alamo, and Chibolo
Alamo.
Creek.
Alamo. So if you're on, what was that show?
Bar Rescue?
No, the cartoon.
Dexter's Lab.
With Hank Hill.
King of the Hill.
Alamo is what they drink. So if you want to drink Alamo.
Boy, I tell you, we drink the Alamo down here in Texas. I'm down there. Come down and drink some. Yes.
So whether you're against pain or whether you're propane and you need some accessories.
I'll tell you, I'm the man to talk to.
Thanks, Mike Judge.
So I'm looking at everything else, and in regards to, like, there's a place called Claude Hoppers. Have you ever, like, that's in San Antonio.
Dude, before you continue, I'd like to let you know that San Antonio is the seventh largest city in population in the United States, and it is huge. I've been there almost 3 years, and I still have seen maybe about 20% of it. So depending on where in San Antonio we're talking, I probably
well, that's the number one bar on this list is the Hoppy Monk. So
yeah, Hoppy Monk is fantastic.
And then Big Hops is number two.
Interestingly enough, the Hoppy Monk is about a mile and a half from my
church.
A little
over 1.4 million people in San Antonio. Yeah. That's, yeah.
I mean, there's amazing. What? But that's San Antonio proper or the metro
that's
area?
That's San Antonio proper.
Proper.
So about twice the size of Detroit then? Just under twice the size.
Oh, 465 square miles.
Nick, were you yelling at that microphone a little bit louder
yes,
for
I
me?
Yes, I can, actually.
Well, the whole thing is that we're talking population. Like, it is a big city as far as how big it is from a land perspective, but just
because
from
everyone's better in Texas.
No, I haven't been there that long yet. But the population density is amazing. It's crowded everywhere you go. It's pretty crazy.
Now yeah. One of my big questions in regards to it, are the stars at night big and bright?
Oh, my gosh.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
There you go.
But he's not in the heart of Texas. He's on the coast of Texas.
He is on the coast.
I was going to say, I'm, you know, let's just say for the Journey fans out there, I moved from South Detroit to South Texas. It's funny because I've lived in South Detroit. I've lived in South
at least
Colorado, Southern Colorado, and now
you'll get at least one of those. Yes.
I try to forget that part.
Someone brought that up, and I was like, I know that city. Yeah. I've been there.
What city?
Pueblo West.
Pueblo West?
Colorado. I've been there.
I have not been
there. He stayed
Pueblo
a night
West.
There, poor guy.
Did we go to that country bar? And
no, that was in the Springs. The Suffering Bastard. Oh,
Kickers.
Did you go to Kickers? Yeah, you did go to Kickers. Yeah.
No, the Suffering Bastard was a whole other experience.
Yeah.
I've been there. God's sake. I know what I'm talking about.
As everyone goes to their phones because they have idea what Dan and I are talking about. I'll let Ken go ahead and take control of
the show again. Fuck?
Well, that's going to do it for us here at Better on Draft Podcast. Don't forget, if you are or interested, go check out Schoolcraft College. Check out their brewery and distillery program. And don't forget to check out our sponsors, North Center Brewing, as well as, I can't even think, Zatuna Liquor. And no matter what you think, I turned everybody's mic off. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft. Have a great night.